Using an overpriced trash bag.
Pricey, pricey, pricey!
A bag that breaks.
Whippy, whippy, whippy!
Or a smelly bag.
Stinky, stinky, stinky!
Time to switch to Hefty Ultra Strong trash bags, always at an ultra low price.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
They're our best bags yet, and they cost less than Glad ForceFlex were sold head to head. So you'll be
happy, happy, happy!
Hefty Ultra Strong with Arm & Hammer Odor Control. Available at Sam's Club.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome. You're listening to the Change Agent's Dilemma for Tuesday, November 9th, 2010 on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Heather Stegel, coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia, as I do every 2 weeks on Tuesdays at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. This show is one of the many ways I help equip individuals to lead organizational change at Enclaria, LLC. The Change Agent's Dilemma is how to influence change without authority. And this show is a resource for people who are leading change from the middle to understand how change works and learn new ideas for how to implement it. Today, my guest is Maria Gamm, who is here to share some insights from her new book, Healing the Corporate World. As a former Fortune 500 executive, Maria has spent more than 20 years trailblazing businesses valued at upwards of $100 million. And now, as the founder, CEO, and chief change agent of NMS Communications, LLC, she shares her vast life experience and knowledge of universal laws to help executives and entrepreneurs reclaim their ability to lead profitable businesses effectively and with great value. Today, Maria lectures both nationally and internationally, mentoring and coaching people at all levels of business. Currently, she has set up an intensive learning program called the Change Agent Academy, which provides a step-by-step progression to achieving both personal and professional transformation. Her new book, Healing the Corporate World, How Value-Based Leadership Transforms Business from the Inside Out, which was just released less than a month ago, is now a top 10 bestseller in the business category at Amazon.com. Maria, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Heather. It's great to be here.
So tell me, what is the premise of the book?
Well, the premise of the book is that everyone actually has the power and the capacity to make profound change no matter where they are in an organization. And I think that's really important, especially today, because so many people feel completely powerless. They feel that if they don't have that title, that they have no influence and they have no effect on anything that's going on around them. The book actually takes it from the other side and says you actually have much more power than you realize. And if you want to make profound change where you work, and that is, you know, this book is for not only people who are in big business at executive level or mid-level, but also for entrepreneurs. If you want to make a profound change, if you are unhappy, if you are seeing things that you are not happy about participating with, there is a way for you to come from the inside where you are right now and be an effective change agent and influencer in that process.
I love that.
Yeah.
So the book is called Healing the Corporate World. So what is it about the corporate world that needs healing?
Well, what has really occurred over the past couple years, and really this has been going on for more than the past couple years, the business world got exposed. You know, in 2008, we had this massive crash, and it was a wake-up call for everyone in business. You know, I live in New York City, and, you know, this really is a business mecca here. So we really saw it. We really saw, you know, people losing their jobs, people losing their homes, all kinds of things that were going on as a result of what I call a chaotic business system or business model, which is one that's based in ego. And the ego is all about fear, lack, and insecurity. And they build a business. Businesses are built on this. So when you think about that, that really comes down to behaviors and actions such as, you know, being highly competitive, hiding vital information, not even having a sense of transparency, a little bit of exploitation, greed, all kinds of things that have contributed to what we saw, which were illegal business practices, false reporting, false earnings. Those kinds of things. And we as a culture, and this is really globally, got to see really what we had created in business, and it just collapsed. It was a world of illusion. And so what I offer people is, you know, we all participated in some way. And you can say, well, you know, I have nothing to do with this. But if you saw or heard something that was a little bit dicey and you didn't take an action, then in some way you are responsible. We're all responsible. It's not one person. We're all responsible. And now we're in a position where we say, are going to say, well, is this the way we want to move forward in business, or do we want to change this paradigm? Because it's forced everyone to say, well, what's really important to me? What's really important to me? And people are looking around and saying, it's not just about me anymore, it's about everyone, because we've watched so much pain around us in the past couple of years.
So if someone is going to work every day, doing their job, but maybe they have a sense that something's wrong or something that needs to be changed, where would they look to see that something is wrong?
Well, I think that most people instinctively know when something is wrong. They feel it in their gut. They get a sense of, you know, there's a problem here, without a doubt. And more often, you know, when you're in the trenches and you're working every single day, what it boils down to this, you have to look at the relationships that are going on around you and what's happening. I'm going to use competition as the example for this segment so that we can stay really, really focused. If people around you are being competitive or you are being competitive, that means that they're operating in a system of chaos, which is insecurity, because you can't be competitive unless you're insecure. You know, that shows up in wanting to be the best and to destroy other people to get what you want. Now, this is something, unfortunately, that is quite common in the workplace. Have you experienced this, Heather?
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah. So you can either participate or you can choose to be differently. You have to remember, words are cheap. Words really are cheap. Behavior is what's important, and how you conduct yourself. You can say, well, these people are horrible, they're awful, but really you've got to look at how you're engaging and being interactive with other people. And that's what I offer people, to say, well, if people are being competitive, you need to help them overcome that. And whether you're the leader of a team or you're somebody on a team, usually your master influencers are the people who are on teams, who can influence the tide and have everybody move in a different direction by simply saying, hey, you know what, this is not really the way to be. Why don't we actually look at this in a bigger way? What's more important? And this is, I did an interview yesterday that in Australia that was really powerful, and one of the things I said to the interviewer, because she asked me the same question, is when I've come across people like this, I always say to them, what's more important to you right now? Is it you and you being right and you getting what you need? Or can you look outside of yourself and say, everybody here needs to win because this affects all of their jobs, all of their livelihood, and, oh, by the way, most people are dealing on a much bigger scale than the five people in their office. They're dealing on national and international scales. How is this going to affect these other people, too, and their families and their jobs? And usually you'll get a little cavalier throwback, but then people start to really listen if you continue and say, is it more important that you're the only one that wins here? Is it really that important, or is it more important for more people to have jobs and incomes and succeed as well? It's very sobering, because no one has been untouched by what's gone on in the past few years. And
sure,
that usually brings people down to say, well, no, I'm, you know, and they realize that they're being selfish.
So really, you're holding up a mirror to people and saying, you're a part of this too.
Yes, but in a way that appeals to them on a very core base level of being somebody who is part of this community of being of the human beings, and saying, what is really important? And you see, the person who's having this conversation with the person who's causing the strife is really doing something that I call in the book, which is to take a value stand, to say they're not going to engage in this, and they're going to help pull their colleagues back, and they're going to look at their own behaviors and adjust their own behaviors and say, you know, this is not going to fly anymore. They're making a value stand. They're making a choice about how they want to work and engage other people going forward.
Great. That reminds me of something that I have a workbook that I give away free when people sign up for my newsletter, called Change Starts Here. Is how to clarify what you're trying to change. And one of the questions is bringing that person into it and saying, well, how are you perpetuating the status quo here? You know, what are you doing or not doing that keeps it going? So I can relate to that.
Yeah, I talk a lot about the law of reflection, and usually if somebody is experiencing a lot of discomfort with another person, whether it's somebody on their team laterally, above them, below them, it doesn't matter. It's usually a reflection that there's something they need to make an adjustment of within themselves. Now, either you can take this as an indictment and a very difficult situation, or you can view it as I offer it, which is these people will be your greatest teachers, and you will learn the best lessons about yourself and what you need to change within yourself to be a better leader, to be a better team player, to be a more effective influencer and communicator.
Great. So how might somebody go about changing things that or healing things that need to be healed?
Well, I guess I'll give an example, you know, in this whole law of reflection thing. There was, I had a large team in this one particular company, and I had this particular very, very talented guy that worked for me. He was brilliant, and he was somebody who I really valued. And at times he could be difficult, but, you know, sometimes people are. One day he came into my office and stood in the doorway and started yelling at me and saying, "Don't you care? Don't you care that I'm unhappy? Don't you care the team is unhappy?" We were going through, again, a big realignment, and that messes with people's heads and their security, and it's understandable. So you have to be compassionate and patient with people when you're leading, and when you're in that environment, you have to be compassionate with each other as that happens. And I understood what he was saying, but what he was doing was making me responsible for his happiness, which is not my job. And I said to him, "I am here to give you every possibility and every opportunity that you can possibly have. I'm here to give you the tools and the ways and give you FaceTime so you can get where you want to go. That's my job. Your job is to decide what you want to do with those tools. I'm not responsible for your happiness. I'm only responsible to give you everything that you need to do your job to the best of your ability and opportunities for advancement." And he left. He didn't like that answer. And I closed my door, and I thought, oh, I'm so over this. I can't stand this. Why is he being such a pain in the butt? And then I realized something. I was doing the same thing to my boss. And I was saying to her, "You know what? We need more money, we need more staff, we need more this, we need more that, blah, blah, blah." And her hands were tied. Her hands were tied. And she says to me, "I can give you what I can give you, but you have to do the best with it." And sometimes that means being really creative. And I had to think to myself where I was behaving like a child and stamping and refusing to take responsibility for the situation and to think creatively and to think imaginatively and to find other people to help me to resolve the problem rather than just saying, "Oh, poor me," and, "Oh, my team is suffering." So, you know, that's where that law of reflection comes in. You see, it may not be literal, it may not be exact, but it helps you to see what you need to change in yourself, and it also makes you take personal responsibility rather than blaming other people.
Great. So once you start with yourself, how do you propagate this to the rest of the organization?
Well, a demonstration of embodying certain belief systems is what will make other people want to follow you and want to aspire to work with you and for you. And this is honestly the absolute truth. I don't know many people who will watch other human beings in the workplace, and if they have the choice to work between somebody who cuts down their staff or tattles or gossips about other people, and this could be, now remember, this, you're somebody who's building your career within an organization or as an entrepreneur, and you want to keep moving up the ladder. You want to keep succeeding and moving to the next level and being somebody who's an effective change agent all along the way. So if you are backbiting and gossiping and cutting people down at the knees, okay, that's one way to do business, and it's short-term. You will win short-term, but long-term, not so much. And then you've got another person who operates with kindness and compassion. It doesn't mean they're a doormat. They're tough. They're fair, but tough. And they're somebody who does everything they can to empower their team and believes in their people and does their best to get them bonuses and, you know, or gives credit to other team members where credit is due rather than taking it. So if you're somebody on the outside looking at these two people, who do you want to work for? Who are you going to pick to be on your team? Who are you going to want to partner with? Who are you going to trust? Clearly, it's number two. And so that's what I always offer people, is the way that you behave and the way that you interact with other people is a testament to what you truly believe is important. That's the value system. And that value system will either influence people in a positive way or a negative way, and that's up to you to decide how that's going to be. Pick who you want to be. Do you want to be the person who is negative, or do you want to be the person who's positive? That's how you affect and take people with you along the way.
So essentially attracting people by espousing the values that...
Exactly, by being that demonstration of what it is that you believe. It's very hard, Heather, for a person to take an action that isn't in alignment with what they believe. You see, that's the thing that every time I've had groups of people who have read this book, or I've lectured and I've done workshops off this book, every single person always hits themselves in the head with the book and goes, oh, this is so true. I see how I do this all the time. You know, you can say, and I'm going to use just, you know, a very generic one, I have a lot of integrity, right? People will say, I have a lot of integrity. But if they really, truly don't hold that as one of their highest values, then they'll, you know, like, they'll not be fully honest with people. You know, they'll take the credit where credit is not due for themselves. They'll, you know, they'll do something that's a little shady and a little shifty, and that compromises the value that, you know, they have integrity.
So once someone is embodying these values, Are they starting a grassroots movement just by saying, doing what they say, or is there more to it, to getting people to go along with you?
It is a grassroots movement because we've come through a period where people have been in a lot of fear and they've been living in the chaos model, and you know, with the threat to their security and their jobs and their livelihood, they're afraid. It's understandable. We're human beings. We react to two things, threats to our reproduction and threats to our security. You know, I mean, those are the two things that we react to. So we've been in the threat to our security stage right now. But it gets to a point where people have to make a decision. This is the grassroots movement. Am I going to continue to live in fear? Am I going to continue to shut down everything that is creative and innovative that may create new jobs and opportunities, including ones for myself and my family? Or am I going to go ahead and create something new? Am I going to stay with the old, or am I going to create something new? Now, most people will say, I'm going to create something new, but along the way they get met with a lot of resistance and they get met with a lot of other people with fear. My advice to people is to always to stay strong and realize when you color outside the lines, you have to understand that people will judge you, and you have to accept that that's what's going to happen. So get a thick skin and keep moving forward.
Well, that leads me to my next question, because earlier you talked about power.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask you to define that, and
yes,
also explain how you might use that.
Well, a person's power is who they are, and how they are in business creates whether people will follow them or not. So if you're somebody within a team who is, I always call them the master influencer, like if you have a team of 10, there's usually a couple within that 10 that are master influencers and the other people will follow them. That means you have an enormous amount of power. Influence is power. Being able to sway people is power. Being able to create an environment that changes a decision is very powerful. So when I say to people, you're more powerful than you think, and they'll roll their eyes and they'll say, no, I'm not. And they'll say, well, I'm only this person in the organization. Well, how you are behaving will determine if people will listen to you or not. If you're argumentative rather than compassionate, if you're somebody who is competitive rather than collaborative, again, it always goes back to how you choose to use your power. Do you choose to use it and be destructive and resistant, or do you choose it to build something up and try something new? It's really amazing when people realize how powerful they are just by changing who they're being and how they're engaging with other people, and what profound change you can make in an organization because of that. It doesn't matter if you're a secretary, if you're the mailroom guy, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter.
Yeah, so often when I'm talking to change agents, especially when they're dealing with people higher up on the org chart than they are, they feel like they don't have the power. They don't necessarily say, I don't have the power, but I don't have the authority. You know, I can't tell them what I need, or, you know, that kind of attitude. And so definitely helping people see that they actually have power and can use it is important.
See, what people forget is when you can influence a group of people, you create a movement. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter what the person above you says. You see, now, this is not about, you know, being resistant just to be resistant. But here's the thing. When you're in a big company, you have your own, I call it your own tribe. You have your own community. You have the people that you work with. You have the people who you associate with who help you do your job, okay? So if you are, let's just say you're on a team of 10, your circle of influence is probably 50, considering all the vendors and everything that you work with. Mm-hmm. And I always tell people, work where you are now. Work in the environment that you have access to right now. And within that circle of influence of 50, you have to start to behave in a way that brings people to a level of what I call not the chaos model, but the sustainable business model, where people are sharing, where they're giving to one another. And I know this might sound fluffy, but I go into great detail about what that means. It's about helping other people achieve their goals, about everybody sharing a success, about everybody being part of a big vision, even about sharing a vision. Even if you only hold 1% of that vision for the total company, people want to be included. Include people. Include, make it a place of compassion. Now, I will tell you that I've worked in places where I've inherited divisions where nobody wanted to work. I've inherited businesses where people would call it the spawn of Satan, you know, because it was that bad, you know. And it's the truth, and I know you're laughing, I'm laughing, because it's the truth. We've all worked in a place like this, and I've thought to myself, why did I even take this job? I can't even believe I did this. And within a year of instituting a lot of these things that I talk about in the book and ways of being and communication styles and compassion for one another people started to change and the teams became more productive and they became more happy. Are there times where people are going to be unhappy? Of course they're going to be unhappy. People are people. You know, they like drama. But within 2 years, I had people calling me and saying, Maria, I want to come and work for you. Within 3 years, I had a list of resumes that came to me through interoffice mail saying, I want to be part of this team. And the other three managers that we were all related in creating this grassroots movement, they were like, this is hysterical. Everybody wants to come and work for these teams of people. And we had to think why. And it was because we were tough but fair, compassionate leaders. We were not always perfect, but we owned our mistakes, and we empowered our people to do their jobs. And by doing that, we set a precedent of this is the way it's going to be. Either play or don't play. If you don't want to play, usually they felt uncomfortable and they didn't stay. But enough people wanted to be part of it. And when you do that, you create a movement. You create people who really want to work with you and for you. You create people who want to rise through the ranks. And people who are rising through the ranks know the code of behavior to do it, which is to be kind and compassionate, but tough. Have boundaries, have expectations, you know, want people to excel and have, a standard of excellence. But these are all fair rules. And that's how it works.
So now you gave it just now a big example of going from the spawn of Satan to a place where everybody wants to work. But I'm wondering if there's a limit to how far out of the norm, if you want to live certain values that are so far out of the norm for the company, you know, is there a limit to the amount of change that you can make happen?
Yeah, there is. And, you know, the thing is that people will talk about wanting to make quantum leaps, and that's great. You've got to have some influencers, other influencers along with you to do it. And this is not about overturning cars and starting riots and all of that stuff. But if you have, I'm going to take it down to brass tacks. If you have a system that doesn't work within the company, let's just say it's, you know, I remember people wanted us to use a certain reporting system and it never worked. It never worked. No matter what, the information we needed to pull out of the reporting system never worked. So we would use the system. Finally, you know, you're mandated to use the system because that's what the company wants you to use. They paid for it. You know, they want you to use it. It's mandated. So the way we would, what we would do is there were four departments that would get together and say, this stinks, this doesn't work. What's the solution? Well, we've got to use the system, so let's use the system for where it does work. We can pull X, Y, and Z from it, but I also need A, B, and C from this system, and it won't give it to me. And we created a secondary system that supported it. And that was just an Excel spreadsheet and doing the calculations ourselves. Do you see what I mean? It doesn't need to be, if you wait for permission to do every little thing, it never happens. Use what you have and then just improve upon it. Get other influencers to be part of the process and just quietly go about doing your work. If you need to do a brand extension or you need to create new products and services, you work it out within your own team, and then it gets taken up the ladder. And you have to realize sometimes these things do take time. But if you're going to go way out on a limb, if you're going to be so totally eccentric, my advice to you is to become an entrepreneur, because it will never work in a large-scale corporation.
Sure. Or you could try it, but they may ask you to leave, right?
Yes. And you know what? Look at Mark Zuckerberg. Like, I just watched the Facebook movie a couple weeks ago. If that guy was working at IBM, they would have fired him. They would have. There's no way. He was thinking so far out of the box, and they would never, ever really validate that. I mean, no offense to IBM, I'm just using them as a big corporation.
Right, I'm thinking, if somebody from IBM is listening, they're saying, hey,
maybe. I know. Well, listen, IBM's changed a lot, but, years ago when he was at Harvard, Yale, I can't remember which one, they may not have listened to him, and he's so far outside of the box, such a free thinker, that he had to be an entrepreneur, he had to create his own thing. So you have to decide. You have to realize corporations are great because they have boundaries and they have systems of checks and balances. If you know how to work the system, it's great. If you don't, please go and be an entrepreneur and bless the world and create a new company. It's great. Creates more jobs.
So we'll start wrapping up here. Why don't you tie a bow on this? What do people need to know about your book?
Well, they can get the book by going to Amazon, and we created a tiny URL to make it easier. But if they want to buy the book, and it's only $19.95, go to tinyurl.com/bizshift, BIZSHIFT, and that'll take you right to the page to buy it on Amazon. But I also want to give your audience a gift. I have a free three-part audio series I did with two best-selling authors on a pathway to success. And that is, they can pick that up by going to mariagamb.com/audio freebie. That's audiofreebie.html. And that's free for anybody who wants to come and pick it up.
Great. And both of those, the links for the book at Amazon as well as the freebie, the audio freebie, are available or will be shortly on my site. I'm going to post a blog about this interview where people can listen and get those two links. And to find that, they can just go to my site, www.inclaria.com, and look in the lower right-hand corner. That's where the most recent posts are. And I click on the one that says Interview Healing the Corporate World. So, Maria, thanks so much for being here and sharing some of the insights from your book.
Oh, thank you for having me. This was really fun.
Great. And I'm looking forward to reading it myself.
Okay.
So the next show is actually coming up in 4 weeks, now that we're coming up on the holidays. If we did it in 2 weeks, it'd be Thanksgiving, and so we'll just skip that week. But the next show is with my guest, Rick Maurer, who wrote best-selling books Beyond the Wall of Resistance, and also, Why Don't You Want What I Want? That's coming up on Tuesday, December 7th, 2010, at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. And we will, of course, be talking about resistance to change. In the meantime, if you would like to find more resources and learn how we might work together to help you influence change in your organization, please visit www.inclaria.com. Thank you so much for listening to The Change Agent's Dilemma. Take care, and best wishes for your change initiative.
Using an overpriced trash bag.
Pricey, pricey, pricey!
A bag that breaks.
Whippy, whippy, whippy!
Or a smelly bag.
Stinky, stinky, stinky!
Time to switch to Hefty Ultra Strong trash bags, always at an ultra low price.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
They're our best bags yet, and they cost less than Glad ForceFlex were sold head to head. So you'll be.
Happy, happy, happy!
Hefty Ultra Strong with Arm & Hammer Odor Control. Available at Sam's Club.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Using an overpriced trash bag.
Pricey, pricey, pricey!
A bag that breaks.
Whippy, whippy, whippy!
Or a smelly bag.
Stinky, stinky, stinky!
Time to switch to Hefty Ultra Strong trash bags, always at an ultra low price.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
They're our best bags yet, and they cost less than Glad ForceFlex were sold head to head. So you'll be.
Happy, happy, happy!
Hefty Ultra Strong with Arm & Hammer Odor Control. Available at Sam's Club.
Hefty, hefty, hefty! Yeah.